In a culture obsessed with pretending to be perfect, scars are probably not high on the list of things that we think are beautiful. They are things, typically, that we cover up, we surgically correct, or we discreetly conceal. And yet I have, on occasion, met individuals who would say, I am proud of my scars. Because scars are signs that we endure, that we survive something difficult, that we are fragile but still present. Scars are a sign that even though you go through difficult things, healing is possible. It's very tempting to sanitize the story on Christmas Eve. We're all here dressed up so nicely, you know. We want to take some family photos afterwards. It all seems so respectable. We could skip over some of the unsavory elements of becoming human, the rumors and shame that surrounded an unwanted teen pregnancy, the blood and viscera of childbirth and labor, the truly questionable hygiene about laying a baby in a manger. But if we do that, if we stay outside in the waiting room until everything's cleaned up and the baby Jesus can come out in a nice clean blankie, I think we might miss the whole point of the incarnation. God did not come halfway to meet us. In Christ, God comes all the way in. Through his life and ministry, Jesus accumulates 7 scars. And though this is purely speculative, I think he's proud of them. And the reason I think that's true is that he still bears them in eternity. When we see the resurrected Christ, we see evidence of a God who is willing to come so close to rescue us that he's willing to bear scars in eternity. So, for the remainder of our time this evening, I'd like to reflect a little bit on the permanent signs of God's embrace, the 7 scars of the resurrected Christ. For reasons that will hopefully make sense at the end, I'd like to address these scars as Jesus received them in reverse order. So let's first talk about the 7th scar of Christ, his wounded side. John chapter 20, verse 27, the resurrected Jesus says to the disciple Thomas, who had doubted, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. The thing about humans is we're constantly hungry for more. We consume to the point of being sick, but we can't consume to the point of being satisfied. And Christmas time, ironically, has become a time of overconsumption. We eat too much, we spend too much, we fill the stockings to overflowing, and yet sometimes at the end of all of that filling, it can still feel pretty empty. But not with Jesus. Jesus pours out. And the 7th scar of Jesus is a sign that he pours out his very life. On the cross, Jesus shows us that the way to emulate the Father is not through endless consumption, but through self-emptying love. The 6th and 5th scars of the resurrected Christ are his nail-pierced feet. Luke 24, 39. Jesus said to them, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." I don't know about you, but I have encountered a lot of people who tend to run away from their problems. We have a tendency to chase pleasure and to flee from accountability. In that way, all of us are like Jonah. All of us are like the prodigal son. All of us like the disciples who scatter when Rome chooses to make an example of the Messiah. And Christmas time, ironically, has become a time of overcommitment. We run around like chickens with our heads cut off. Our calendars are so full, we feel like we're in a mad rush the entire month of December. Hurry, 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 like the family in Home Alone trying to catch our flight. It's like we've forgotten something. But not with Jesus. In Christ, the one with beautiful feet that bring good news has arrived, and they're nailed down, anchoring heaven to earth. The third and fourth scars of the resurrected Christ are his nail-pierced hands. 1 John 1:1 recounts that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. John is communicating to us that the resurrected Christ, who was so adamant that his disciples touch his wounds after he was resurrected in glory, that they in fact did so. And now they're reporting back to us. And maybe not you, but certainly other people that you know. Humans tend to be a grabby bunch, you know? We latch on to things and we don't let go. We fight, we claw, we scratch for our way, our family, our people. And Christmas time, ironically, has become a time of overreaching. If we're not careful, we begin to feel entitled. I have plans for that Christmas bonus to put a pool in the backyard. I don't want jelly of the month, right? But not Jesus. The hands that touched lepers, lifted children, broke bread, and stilled storms are scarred, still reaching. His hands are not the closed fist of selfish humans, but the open hands of a loving God who welcomes sinners still. The second scar Jesus got earlier in life. And it feels a bit strange to talk about it, but I think it's important. Luke 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is an important scar because human beings are covenant breakers. We make promises and we don't keep them. And Christmas time, ironically, has become a time of good intentions that don't always turn into reality. We always mean to do more, say more, give more. But like so often happens, time gets away from us and we end up not having the ability to serve and to be and to write and to do all the things that we wish we could. Jesus is not like that. Circumcision was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. God's promise to be the God, the defender, and the rescuer of his people. But from Abraham on, We weren't able to find a single human who could keep our end of the bargain. And so in Christ, Jesus comes and he's circumcised because he is the one human who's able to keep our end of the covenant. He is the one who makes us a family with God. And that brings us to the first scar of the resurrected Jesus. Scar that he's born with. Scar that you have. The first scar of Jesus is his navel. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I didn't have any raising of hands to identify with a circumcision scar, but all of us have this one. All of us were at one point connected in utero with our mothers. And this is not just a cute little observation. This is the entire point of the incarnation, that Jesus comes in the flesh. All the other scars he will accrue during his life and ministry are about cutting something off, removing something, piercing something, hurting something. But this first scar is a scar of connection, a scar of identity and solidarity with what it means to be human beings. Curiously, humans, it seems, are increasingly not interested in being very human. We're allowing algorithms to shape our culture, our economics, our politics. We're disintegrating and digitizing our lives rather than being present in the community God has placed us in. Christmas time, ironically, has become a time of endless distraction. There's always another thing that you could be checking on. There's always another way for you to escape this present moment and flee into a digital utopia. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus came in the flesh. His first scar was that of the incarnation, a scar he shares with every single human being who's ever lived. One day, we will celebrate the return of the resurrected Christ. And every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow, and every human and being and power and dominion will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that day, when the resurrected Christ comes to restore heaven and earth and make all things new, he will be the bearer of seven scars that show his willingness to come and to redeem and to reclaim human beings and to bring them home to him. If you feel that you are limping into this Christmas, if you are feeling banged up and forgotten, if you are feeling worn down, exhausted, if you are feeling too scarred for the tidy and neat and perfect ceremonies that we sometimes enjoy, take heart. The baby that came and was laid in a manger over 2,000 years ago came for someone exactly like you. He identifies with all of your hurt. He entered into the difficulty and fragility and pain of what it means to be a human being. And by his wounds, we are healed. He is the resurrected King. But tonight, we celebrate the baby who holds our scars. Let's pray together this evening. For your love and mercy, for your generosity and truth, we are so eternally grateful. We celebrate that while we were yet far off, God saw us in our weakness, and he did not stay back, but he entered fully in. This evening, as we gather together with family, friends, we're praying in the strong name of Jesus Christ, that all who feel lonely, that all who feel abandoned, that all who feel beat up and overlooked would remember that there is a Savior who also bears their scars. We pray for healing this Christmas. We pray for reconciliation this Christmas. And we pray, because of what you have done for us, we would become ambassadors of peace and healing to those who are scarred and hurting. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our saving Lord, and God's people said, amen and amen. We like to end our Christmas Eve services with a candlelight service. And we do so by taking the light from the Christ candle and by sharing it. Every single candle that will be lit tonight originally has come from the Christ candle. And this is a symbol about the power and the grace and the goodness of Christ and how it can be shared and spread until all the earth recognizes his beauty and grace. So we're going to pass this flame around. We will encourage you that if you are the donor flame, to go ahead and keep your candle upright. That's a great way to not lose wax. The unlit candle can be the one that bends to you. And as the candles are passed throughout the room, we'll begin to sing together. Light of the world comes close. And though his shining presence reveals all of your iniquities, all of your shortcomings, and all of your scars, he still wants to take up residence with you. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son of God. We bless you, scarred children of the Most High God, to carry the light of Christ with you. Don't worry if you're a little broken. The flaws and cracks within us are what help reveal the light. Receive this benediction this evening. May the light of healing and hope and life dwell within you. May your love for the Savior of the world grow and grow in this season. And may you show the same hospitality and grace that you have freely received with those who are hurting and broken. May they sense the love and light of Christ through you. We bless you in Jesus' strong name to go out carrying the light and proclaiming the resurrection power of our saving God. We bless you in this good work in Jesus' strong name, and all of God's people said, amen, amen. We love you very much, church. Go in peace.